Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. And during the month of October, we are giving away one heck of a prize, a $300 Amazon gift card. If you want a chance at winning it, all you got to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Then shoot me a screenshot of it by emailing contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. Again, very simple. Leave Real Ghost Stories Online a review on Apple Podcasts. Then send me the screenshot to contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. On Halloween, we'll pick our winner and notify him via email. A $300 Amazon gift card. You can buy all sorts of spooky Halloween stuff on close-up by the time Halloween comes around, or use it for Christmas. Leave that review now and then send me the screenshot, contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. Good luck.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online, 31 days of Halloween. An extra ghost story a day to keep the spirits at bay.
So I'm 28 now, so roughly 13 years ago, my cousin, she's actually the daughter of my cousin, but because we're similar in age, I refer to her as my cousin, so I will for this story also. I was 13 years old and... No, 15 years old, sorry. And my cousin, who was maybe a year or two older at the time, she came to stay next door to my parents' house, which was my auntie's house at the time. So my parents lived in a fairly typical Victorian terraced house. So the walls of the adjoining houses were next to each other, so sound travelled fairly easily. So my auntie lived next door to my parents' house, and my cousin was suffering from, you know, something paranormal, something supernatural, and she came to live at my auntie's house, I think just for the support of the family, because a lot of my family lived in this particular neighbourhood, and where my cousin lived with her parents and her family, was the neighbourhood was quite out of the way, and there were not many of our relatives there. So I think it was just for kind of familial support. So this, you know, the story which I'm going to share with you, I didn't realise at the time that it was supernatural. I mean, I think I had my suspicions, but nobody confirmed this for me. I think probably to not scare the younger children in the family, we were not told at the time what was happening, but since then obviously I know the story, and you know, my parents have discussed it with me, and so has my cousin. So the first I heard of this was when my cousin came to stay at my auntie's house. Leading up to this, which I didn't know at the time, it all began when my cousin began to mention, while she was at her parents' house in her room, that she could see figures and just odd kind of things in her room, kind of everyday objects, but the objects weren't there, if that makes sense. So she would see a lamp that wasn't in her room, or even a carton of juice, which, you know, would appear in her room and then disappear. She mentioned the first time that she, you know, really got weirded out by this was when she was in the bathroom and she saw smoke coming in through the door. It wasn't actual physical smoke, but it was just kind of a manifestation, I think, of something. And then the lady appeared to her from this smoke, like an elderly kind of lady. Also, when she went to college, which is when you're 16 to 18 years old in the UK, so it's not university, which I think Americans refer to as college. So she was either 16 or 17 at the time this happened. And she went to school with a college, sorry, with her younger brother, and they went on a tram, which I think it's a Metrolink. I'm sorry if these terms don't make sense, because I think they differ in England and in the US. So it's just a mode of transport which she would, you know, catch every morning and every afternoon after college. So it was spring, and I was you know, it wasn't winter, there was no ice or snow or rain or anything like that. And my cousin's brother, who went to college with her, said that she, on one morning when all these occurrences were happening, when she was seeing these women and, you know, people manifesting, and that she began to kind of laugh hysterically and began to glide around on the pavement, but as if it was icy and she was wearing ice skates and she was gliding. First he thought she was just kind of goofing around, but she's a very sort of serious person who doesn't joke around a lot, so that didn't really make sense. But also she was gliding as if she was on ice, and she was only wearing normal boots and there was no ice on the floor, so can't really explain what happened there. So my cousin's brother said that really weirded him out, but then after a few minutes she stopped laughing and she was absolutely fine, and they went to college and the rest of the day was fine. So I think things gradually started to happen. My cousin mentioned walking up the stairs and feeling an invisible force trying to push her down the stairs. You know, she felt like something was trying to strangle her, sort of invisible hands. So it gradually got worse, and I think her parents decided to maybe a change of location maybe was what they thought would, you know, be beneficial for her. So she came to my auntie's house, and again there was a lot of more support there, and we contacted an imam. So I'm of the Muslim faith, as is my cousin, and an imam is the equivalent to a priest. So over the next few weeks, you know, he would visit the house and they would pray and he'd drink holy water and kind of do sort of like protection prayers for her, which eventually, you know, did work. But there was one particular evening where I suppose it's kind of the same as an exorcism, where you're kind of dispelling, you know, spirits or what have you, you know, that have possessed her. But I think it differs a lot from kind of the Christian kind of exorcisms. But then again, I've only seen them in films, so I don't know how true they are. But it's just a lot of kind of praying and, you know, banishing spirits away from the body because, you know, it doesn't belong to them. So I think this would have been the evening, because I remember my parents going over to offer prayers as well, and I was home alone and I was in my bedroom, which I think the wall would have been adjourned to the wall where she was staying in. And I just remember hearing this screaming and shouting, and hearing all these sort of disembodied voices. It was really weird because I could hear my cousin's voice, but I can also hear like another layer of voice. Some voices were kind of deep and quite manly, and some were of other women who I've never heard in my life, speaking languages which I didn't really understand. Couldn't make out the words that, you know, the voices were saying, but it was creepy nonetheless. I don't think I've ever felt so scared in my life. I was frozen on the spot and my blood ran cold, and all I remember was I wanted to not hear these voices and these screams, but I was rooted on the spot and I couldn't move. It felt like it went on forever. I mean, I didn't see anything. I never visited my cousin while she was like this because I was scared, and obviously I don't think my parents would want me to see something like that. But just hearing it was enough to make my blood run cold, and I can't, to this day, like right now, I can imagine it and how it made me feel. So, you know, that was kind of 13 years ago now, and I've seen her since, and, you know, she seems to be very happy, and she's never had anything like this again after that night when the imam did the specific prayers on her. And actually, I forgot, my brother did go to visit her, and he said that she looked different. Her facial features were... It was her, but it was not her. The facial features were markedly different, and that she spoke in different voices while he was actually there. He actually didn't sleep for about a week or even 2 weeks because her voice had said from her that she would kill my brother in his sleep, and that absolutely petrified him and he couldn't sleep. Now that I've spoken to my cousin after this, she says she doesn't remember, you know, when this was happening, when the voices were emanating from her. All she could remember was seeing sort of smoke coming into whichever area she was, and she'd begin screaming because she knew something was coming, and she could see figures forming, but then she would forget. Well, I don't know if she forgot or if she was possessed and she doesn't remember, you know, what actually happened. I mean, I don't like to talk to her about it too much. She lives a very happy life now, and I mentioned in my last call that I'm a psychiatric nurse. I'm really not inclined to think that this is... I'm really inclined to think that this was not a psychotic episode, since she's had nothing before or since. The prayers seem to have helped, and she was, you know, never on any medication, and I don't know how anyone could... How could that be attributed to psychotic illness, like actually changing of your features? And then I do know there's some psychiatrists and such who argue that there is a phenomenon where that can happen, but I think I'm quite dubious when I think there's so much evidence for the supernatural, paranormal out there in the world.
Real Ghost Stories Online, 31 days of Halloween. An extra story a day to keep the spirits at bay. For commercial-free ghost stories, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and exclusive bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.